Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the A-List with me, Jennifer Lindsay. Every week we chat with an influencer to see what makes them tick. And today, Friday, March 12, 2010, I am delighted to be joined by Jai Decker, co-founder and CEO of Company on the Rise, Driven Tide. He is at South by Southwest, and we thank him for taking time to speak with us. Hello, Jai.
Hello, and thank you, everyone, for joining us. And I'm trying not to be too loud because there's a lot of stuff going on here at the conference. I found it a quiet little area to talk to you people. So thanks a lot for this opportunity.
Yeah, you were saying that, just quickly, the anecdote about hanging out with Peter Shankman and the cool thing he's got going on, maybe give people a little flavor for what's happening at South by Southwest Interactive.
Yeah, absolutely. That we basically had a little meetup this afternoon with a couple of old-timers groups and with Peter Shankman, and we peeled off to come over here to Chevy's Tweet Up. It's at this amazing vintage bicycle store with all these gorgeous little things that I hope Peter's not going to try to go shoplifting because he has a problem with that. But it's an amazing little space here. So they have vintage bicycles and all sorts of other little things. It's very industrial, but it's my first time in Austin, so I'm very impressed so far.
Well, Peter is a friend of the show. He's been on before, so please tell him hello for myself and our listeners here at the A-List. And let's jump right in it. You know, you're a co-founder of a company on the rise. You're a very good example of taking collective experience in the sort of Obama-esque sense of, you know, going out there and just saying, you know what, you know, we need to create something innovative in this space using the expertise that we have. We can improve on what exists. And we actually started kind of the discussion the point that I want to start with at an event about real-time feedback loops. And you gave some interesting examples. I don't know how much you can tell about clients, but as much as you can based on the experiences that you've had, even if you have to speak about them broadly. I'm everybody on the show knows I'm a huge analytics geek, and I want to get your take on what an analytics report can really tell you beyond what people traditionally think.
Absolutely. I'll go ahead and just kind of start off with analytics is the ability to really take a look at what it is that's happening with your website or social media or with your Twitter or PPC reports or campaigns, and being able to not just look at them individually but look at them on how they affect each other, how do they compound each other, and being able to find out if there's opportunities, pitfalls, issues, or things that need to be worked on. A particular example that Jen liked was there was a bank that we were working with recently that there was a big issue with the idea of, are banks safe? How do I keep my home? Should I be worried about my money being in this particular bank? And a lot of the banks were spending a great deal of money on trying to figure out how to get to these people and reassure them that everything's okay. So they were using social media because that's what everyone was talking about, or they were using Twitter because that's what everyone was talking about. But instead, what happened was is that during one of our routine analyses of some of their buzz logic, which is a tool that I use as an adverb, is there's tools like Buzz Logic and Scout Labs and a bunch of others that basically will aggregate keywords that are based on either the company, interest, or product that you're looking for. And so we started seeing that there was a great deal of traffic on one particular little forum in the Midwest. And when I say little, it was upwards of 25 to 100,000 people going onto this forum and discussing about, what do I do about my house? What do I do about refinancing my credit cards? What do I do about – and it's just this live discussion that was real time. And unfortunately, without being able to really see that data with analytics mixed in with using like a Buzz Logic or Scout Lab, is that we weren't able to go, wait a minute, there's a discussion that's happening over there. Instead of trying to start give answers, why don't we go to a place that people are asking questions? Let's go there and help them out and create a special little area by saying, hey, come to us and we have financial people to help you out. Or to go to, like, we also did something with Yahoo questions and answers. because there was all these people asking about these particular answers, I mean questions, and then there was no one there to answer them. And so I said, this is a really great opportunity for just simple discussions and really start answering these questions instead of letting them fly off into tangents. It was a risk, but it really paid off well. There was a lot of really great feedback. There was a lot of, even though it wasn't a main goal, we saw a lot of traffic coming from Yahoo to this particular bank that I was working with. A lot of traffic from this forum that was looking at being able to refinance. Working with the bank to be able to say, hey, what are tools that you have that they may help with? Refinance tools, debt consolidation tools, government-assisted phone numbers, simple little things that they take for granted that is worth millions of dollars worth of advertising and social media and brand awareness that was just readily given and available.
So, I mean, I think this is a really good example, and I know that the bank that you're talking about, just for folks that don't know, I just want to give a little bit more detail without giving away who the company is. It is a, you know, what somebody would name as probably a top three to top five bank in the U.S., and is certainly a household brand name. You know, so I think that's what's really interesting is that, you know, when you think of those big brand names, you think you're going to find these, you know, when you do outreach, you know, obviously you want to start engaging with people where they're already having conversation. And you know, we keep hearing listen, listen, listen. And it sounds like you've found found a way to, you know, take a couple of different tools. So maybe an analytics report of some kind and an analysis, you know, a keyword-based analysis tool, and really find these sort of micro communities that are smaller, that aren't on Facebook or aren't on a forum like we would, you know, maybe find in an initial search. You know, so, you know, what I guess my question would be is, for folks listening, it may sound like that's not very replicatable. So how, you know, you have a business where this is just a piece of what you do. So can you talk us through, you know, how, you know, this is replicatable and, you know, how, you know, someone at home, what, you know, someone at home has got, you know, a small to medium business to a large business, you know, what's the first step in trying to do something like this? Besides hiring you, of course.
Besides hiring us. Basically what it is as in all marketing, and I've worked with, and if you guys have seen the bio, and I'm not tooting the horn, just to kind of give you an idea, I've worked at Expedia, I've worked at the 24/7 Media, and I've worked at Ogilvy and Mather, and the thing is that opportunity shows itself when you look at what the real-time information is occurring with your website itself. So if you're able to pull analytics by being able to say what keywords are really driving traffic to you and where are they coming from to find you, by being able to cross-reference basically your advertising keywords, your analytical keywords, and mushing them together is basically called multi-channel analytics. And you're able to say, oh, here's the top five keywords that we have, and by the way, of 20% of those keywords that are really popular and actually either converting or creating a really interesting conversation are coming from this blog over here, or they're being generated by this search engine over there, or this Twitter person over there who happens to be talking exactly about our product, either it's positive or negative. And so it's being able to go, hey, that may be interesting. How about we reach out to that person and start that conversation or offer to place a sponsorship or offer to give them a little bit more information about your product, saying, hey, here's a little something for you to write about us. Here, let me write something up, and if you feel about writing about it, please go ahead. It's being able to find out what works for you and what are people interested in, because that's a small segment of a huge ocean of opportunity, and then being able to find out where is that school coming from? Where is the group of people that are interested in it? Is it a hiking store? Is it a forum? Is it
knowing
small
your
little
audience.
Bike store? Yeah. And so by being able to take a look at your web trend reports, Google has many. If you go to my website, I did a recent blog post on how to basically monetize your data. by saying, okay, how is your website working? Making sure that it's working. Make sure it's getting the maximum amount of opportunity for people looking for what it is you have. Then the next step is saying, okay, now I know what the people are doing on the site. Now, where are they coming from? How are they finding me? Did somebody write about it? Is there a blog out there? Is there a listing, or is there just something? And then being able to then be proactive and go after them and say, hey, how would you like to have our stuff on your page? And it sounds kind of, some people would say that's guerrilla marketing, but after working at Ogilvy and Mather, that's what we do, is that we have a campaign that's out there for IBM and Kodak and SAP. And so we say, okay, we're seeing traffic coming in here. Let's approach them and say, hey, let me put some advertising on there for you. Or, hey, why don't you talk about us? That's how the big boys do it. But it's so easy to do because you have the data right in front of you. You just have to read it.
So stepping away from, you know, the analytics side for a second, or the data side for a second, one of the challenges even at large companies, and of course, you know, smaller companies can feel this comparatively worse or better depending on, I didn't phrase that very well, but you know what I mean. It may affect them in a different way. But, you know, what you're really talking about is a way of connecting and adding value to conversation that's really about content. And with companies, you know, as large as any in this country, you know, the both of us have worked with at different times, saying, you know what, just don't have the money or resources, or how do I resource that? How do you answer that question, or is that a question that comes up for you? Do you just work with what a company has, and what happens if they don't have a lot of shareable content out there?
It happens all the time, but in many cases, is that you don't have the resources not to do it. Because in many cases, that there's so many companies that are out there that are looking to spend money on Twitter. They want to get into this whole social media thing. But the thing is that they're making assumptions on what's working based on buzzwords or based on external factors, instead of really looking at, okay, let's audit what's actually happening on your website, or let's see what's actually happening with your competitors. Where are they, and are they successful? And by being able to use simple tools, which most of them are free, to see just what the opportunity lies. And then from there, you can make a clear decision by saying, you know, Twitter isn't working and we can see it. So, but we're seeing that blog outreach is working, or we're seeing that contextual targeting with an SEO campaign is working. So, I mean, it's a discussion that's different with every single company, but it's a discussion that needs to happen, because they have to do something. Building a really nice car is like building for the perfect customer is still building it in the middle of nowhere with no roads to it. You have to be able to either build it in a place that people want to have it, or build roads to get people to it.
So for the folks that are listening that go, okay, well, that sounds fine and good, and I could say that to a company, and I have, and they still say, well, we don't have the resources to do it, or you write the content, but we don't have budget to pay you extra for it, or whatever the version of the scenario is. You've been very successful in getting large clients on board and getting moving very quickly. Your company is only 2 months old, and you have a very A-list roster already. So, you know, what would you say to the communications professional, for example, out there, who's had this conversation with a big-name client that should be able to find resources and, as you said, can't afford not to engage, but is still getting pushback and can't get the sign-off they need to initiate anything? You know, what? Get us into, you know, what might help that professional out there.
It's called performance-based campaigning. By being able to tell a client, by giving them that first pitch, by saying, look, you can't not but help to do this, is to be able to say, okay, I know that this is what you need because either, one, you know it, or that you saw their analytical reports, and say, look, I can see that if I can drive 15,000 people to your site with a conversion rate of 1%, which means that your cost per lead is $25 each, so your ROI will be $150 per lead. And you can go ahead by simply using that kind of look. If you don't make money, I don't make money. And in this day and age, is that that's what sells. A lot of people are really afraid of that, but it's not really that hard, is to be able to say, look, I mean, that I will do a performance based on this because you've already done it with somebody else, or that you can say, look, if I can increase your traffic by 25%, what is that worth to you? Or if I can help monetize your website so it can increase your conversion rate by, your conversion rate right now is 1%, which is okay. And if I can get it up to 1.5%, that is a lot. And it really speaks to this day and age where people are saying there's so much opportunity for people to work right now, for looking for work right now, that the difference is being able to, and that's why our company is based around that, is performance-based analytics, is to say that, look, we can do these things for you, and this is part of our contract.
So one of the questions that I have is, you know, obviously a lot of what you just said was about the fact that you are the co-founder of your company, you're the CEO, so you can create, and this is something we've talked about before more broadly on the show, you know, you can create kind of a new, you know, almost define a new space for your business, right? You have the ability to steer the ship wherever you need to not only close the deal, but close the deal on terms that you know that you can, that play to your strengths as a,
right,
as a team, right? What would you say to, you know, and not to spend and belabor this point too much, but I want to make sure that, you know, people understand that you are coming from a credible place, because I know you've thought these things through and you've worked on the agency side, for example, and I'm sure you've had these kinds of discussions before where someone is in a, let's say they're at a PR agency who's trying to create an integrated effort. And, you know, it's based on retainers or, you know, monthly costs or whatever, you know, the two basic traditional ways of you know, client payment. And, you know, there's really no room to be able to make statements like that. So that, you know, nobody's ever done it before.
Right.
And maybe, you know, what I see a lot of the time in the feedback I get, you know, sometimes on Twitter or in forums or whatever, is, you know, hey, I'm, you know, a 20-something. I'm the lowest rung on the ladder. I'm now in a social media team. I want to make this work for my client, but I don't have the ability to say, you know, I can't go into a pitch and be as aggressive as saying, you know, what's increasing your traffic, you know, 0.5% to you, to 20%. You know, what does that mean to you in terms of money and, you know, sort of getting into the whole ROI and business side of things? What would you counsel them to do? Because I know you do work, you have a team, and you must work with folks that are junior or have in the past.
Well, I think that, I mean, I have a couple of definitely good ones. I think that there's such a great opportunity, especially right now, for people. If I was in my early 20s now with the gusto that I had back then, that there is a great opportunity for you to be able to say, okay, you know that there's a way to interlink campaigns or come up with a new strategy. You do have to be a bit of a risk taker. It's not really that hard, because the performance will speak for yourself. So by doing something such as you talk to your media director and say, hey, I've been looking at some of the reports, and I see that there's an opportunity. Do you mind, on my own time, can I just pull a report and show that there's a correlation between banners and search media and seeing how it's creating a lift? Because a lot of the data actually is there. You just have to combine it. Or to show that there is an opportunity for social media marketing. And so you, by presenting like a small little deck, that's how I did it, because I first started off in display advertising, then I went to rich media, then I went to mobile, then I went to international, then I went into search, and so on. And the thing was is that I was a bit of an arrogant prick, because I did that. I said, hey, not that word, but I did do that kind of thing where it's like, hey, just take a look at this, because the thing is that the media directors and the people that are in charge of the accounts are always looking for something to separate their report from their potential competitors. because their competitors are always saying, oh, Mr. Agency, Mr. Advertiser, have you seen this? Or are you working with this with your current agency? So the media director is always looking for something new. So by you saying, hey, by the way, I pulled this report, and it's not your PPC is doing this, your social media is doing this, and your display advertising is doing this. Well, actually, here's another little bit we can add on to that. Here, why don't you put this in here? We saw a lift of 26% when PPC and SEO were integrated together. And, I mean, that's how I became head of another department when I was at 24/7 Media, or what's called 24/7 Real Media, is because I had that little bit of gumption and gusto. Because if you're able to give it to somebody who can use it and put it into a report, you're gold. They'll love you for that information.
Okay, so things not to do, and I'll give an example. So we're talking to the same we're trying to be mentors here virtually to the same person that's in a more traditional agency. Again, roles are still being defined, and what one of my concerns is, you know, and when I do work with staff, I am always trying to encourage them not to focus on complaining or being worried too much about, you know, how they're resourced or perceived. What would you say? What's your advice? Because obviously, I think that you've obviously been a trailblazer and you've set your own path. I think that part of it is not worrying too much what people think of you, don't you think?
Correct. I think that another little added to it is that it's showing other people how to not do their job better, but show them, oh, hey, that's a really great report. By the way, I saw this information that actually works with your report. If you put them together, there's an opportunity. And just for the audience that isn't used to a large agency, the way that it usually works is that you get a client, you charge them like 20% of media spend, and that's it. That's all you get. And the thing is that if you ask, if someone within the agency says, oh, we should do this as well, you can't really go back to the advertiser and say, oh, we've already signed a contract for 20%, but we need another 5% to do this other thing. The agency, mm-hmm. I mean, the advertiser is going to go to the agency and say, no, why don't you just do that for free? And that's a really big problem because you're already scoped out with the account managers and also groups directors that have one or two different clients, and now they have another project that the company is not really being paid for. So that's what this person is talking about. But by being able to show that just a little 5% more, you can actually show a deeper, richer experience, because anyone who's building a report or talking to the client about opportunity, they're always searching for what does this mean? What added can I show for this? Oh, here's lift, here's impressions, here's conversions, and here's click rate. But if you can add something else into it, it makes the report 10 times better.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is you know, something that I struggle with, you know, when I see end-of-year reports and I go, oh, God, if they had just asked for or if I had been more included in the process. You know, this is where we see, you know, models needing to shift and making management aware. For the smart managers or owners out there, I see a lot of personal is probably the wrong word, but there's definitely a company investment to make the change. Do you believe, you know, so for either ad agencies or PR agencies or whatever kind of agency, do you think that that's the right way to go, or do you think it's about, you know, it's sort of like the debate about newspapers in a way, you know, that the whole model needs to be blown up and built from the ground up again? Do you think that's where we're at with communications and vis-a-vis the technologies that give us the ability to make data-driven decisions about online footprints, or do you think there's hope in the models that exist?
I think there's hopes in the models that exist. I think that there's a lot of opportunity in areas where people are pulling out of. Like right now, I've got a couple of campaigns that are running within newspapers, and they're doing really, really well because there's no competition. But I think that what's important is being
very
able
clever.
To, Yeah, I mean, so it's like one of the things is I have a campaign for one of my clients that is a fax-driven direct marketing campaign. The conversion rate for that thing is 5%. It's being able to be where your competitors aren't, but makes sense. But back to the strategy and understanding the communication is that we're not going to change models overnight. When I was working at 24/7 Media or working at Falk in Europe, is that the analytics have been here since 2000. Everyone's had it. But I think that the real big difference now is two things. One, there's technology out there that people are actually using. And two, is that people are looking for more value in what they're already doing. So by being able to, there's Twitter out there and new forms of social media and everything else, but I think like we were talking about a few weeks back is that they're having to force themselves to save money. And the best way to save money is to monetize what you already have. Go ahead and look at what your analytics is telling you. Take a look, a deeper dive into what your PPC is doing or what your display is doing. You see that a particular web page that's serving your display banner ad is doing far better than anyone else, maybe there's an opportunity there. Instead of just saying, hey, we need to do more PPC. Well, that's expensive, and what's your basis for that strategy? But by simply looking at your analytics and showing it to your boss or providing like a mini deck on it saying, here's opportunity, and showing that, okay, hey, here's our top 25 keywords. This is of the keywords, here's our competitors, here's the ones that our competitors are buying and how much they're spending for it and what pages and what search engines they're on. So I think that we should be in here, here, and here. And let's just test it out because, I mean, it's not going to cost that much. And it's most campaigns have a 5% extra spend, so you can go ahead and test such things out. And 9 times out of 10, they're always at least successful, if not vastly important for lifetime value, for information, and all sorts of other things. So it's essential, I'll point it down, it's basically is monetize what it is you already have. Just don't throw money because you can and hope that it works. Find out what actually works and then make smart business decisions off of that.
Mm-hmm. And part of that is playing to your strengths in the content space to begin with. So if you're very visual as a company, don't think outside that box. Figure out how to get those visuals into the many places where millions of people go every day to be entertained or interested or, you know, excited by something new and different and then want to become part of your, you know, whatever your efforts are overall.
Exactly.
But what I want to move to is sort of, you know, your base offering. As a company, you know, that's new, you're a startup, you know, kind of how did Driven Tide come together and what's your sort of main mission out there?
Besides becoming rich and successful and retiring to a lifestyle to which I want to be accustomed?
Well, I would expect that of you anyway, but yes, yeah, aside from those things, what's the core value prop?
The core value prop is that my partner and I, Jeffrey Sparks, has been seeing the same issues come up time and time again where that there is that there needs to be a process when implementing digital strategy, when doing banners or buttons or display or search or even SEM or SEO campaigns. There's been that lack of why are we doing this? What's our goal? What's our ROI? How much should we be spending to be able to make a profit instead of just being able to throw money at it? Our basis is being able to really look at things holistically, and a lot of people throw that buzzword around, but holistic media marketing means looking at the website, making sure that everything's okay and you're getting the best bang for your buck. Because if your website isn't doing well, it means a low quality score. If you have a low quality score, it means your paid search campaigns are going to be really expensive. Also, it's going to minimize the amount of traffic you're getting at. So we work with the companies to be able to really kind of fix the issues with their current website, help them monetize the traffic they already have, then come up with a strategy to say, okay, you need to do SEO campaigns or PPC campaigns or display campaigns or social media campaigns, and here's our strategy for it. But we don't stop there, is that we do the next step. Then we work with their analytics, either it's Omniture or it's Quantcast or it's Google Analytics. And you need to have more than one. You need to have Google Analytics and Quantcast. You need to have Omniture or Compete to be able to get as much information as possible and then link them all together. So to see not just that search is giving this much traffic and this many clicks and a CPC and a conversion rate, is to be able to say, oh, your newsletters are getting this much traffic, and of those people, they're seeing PPC and typing in keywords that are relevant to that newsletter and landing onto the website. What is influencing what or compounding what to be able to make that final call? So it's not what some people call is this last click mentality. Oh, PPC is driving 90% of your traffic. Well, why don't we kill everything else? And that happens so many times in this era that it's ludicrous. And so for us to be able to say, okay, well, let's make sure that something else is influencing this. Do you have another campaign running? Is there a billboard somewhere that we don't know of? Is there a newsletter that's driving influence for people to find your website or to convert? Because 9 times out of 10, we've heard of people having this issue and saying, oh, well, PPC display is 70% of our conversion rates and SEO is costing too much, so let's kill that. And basically 2 weeks later, their campaigns just go right down the tubes.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, so that explains, you know, so sort of a piece of it. But I there's another piece that I feel like is on the horizon that you must be thinking about, and that is, you know, it seems like every day I hear something different about, you know, what's going to happen when we have the semantic web or web 3.0, sometimes it's referred to as. There are obviously, regardless of nomenclature, there's lots of changes happening in the search space, in the way that search engines want to be doing things moving forward, the way companies want to be working with search engines moving forward. But there's also a lot that is staying the same, I think, and maybe overhyped. Where do you kind of stand on where you're, you know, how, or I guess the better question is, how have you accounted for potential change in the way search works in your business modeling?
By basically being letting our clients know that changes are coming to the forefront and how to monetize that, by being able to say that, like just a little while ago, that that Google and Yahoo aren't tracking meta tags anymore, but what are they tracking? Right now that the search engines can't scrape images or flash, but they will be eventually. And it's being able to provide them with the information to say, okay, if you're going to go into the direction, here is the positives and negatives that's going to happen. Here's the best case for us to move forward with this. It's being able to be like a knowledge storeroom of information to help them make the decisions that they don't have to keep making the same mistakes or making changes without much of a success. It's being able to say, okay, you have a certain amount of revenue, you have a certain amount of resources. What is it that we can do for you to be able to make the maximum amount of benefit instead of just going off in certain directions? It's kind of knowing what is the evolution of a particular type of either media marketing or display or even the search engines themselves to be able to monetize their own web space, to be able to get into a place where their competitors aren't being aware of.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that, so, I mean, I guess one of the key questions there that, you know, others can learn from is, you know, how do you stay up to date? I mean, do you have contacts at the actual search engines themselves? And, you know, the sort of side question here, having worked for Microsoft or a division of Microsoft before, how does Bing play into all of this? So much is Google-driven, you know?
Well, I mean, if you look at the statistics right now, that Google is about 62% of all search engine activity, and then followed by Bing right now is surpassing Yahoo. And so there is a lot more opportunity that's there. However, from working at 24/7 Media, which is an ad-serving platform, and working at Falk eSolutions in Europe that was purchased by DoubleClick that's now owned by Google, I have all sorts of friends after 12 some odd years in the industry that we talk about what is the next step or what are the drawbacks or benefits or even the competitive matrix of the different search engines and tools out there to be able to show that just because if there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of traffic in Google doesn't mean that it's the great place for you to be. That what's important is the actual analytics of the conversions. Are you getting what it is that you want from this particular campaign? And that's one of the reasons why I like Yahoo. I like Bing. I like direct marketing because by being able to do these simple campaigns, knowing that there's not a lot of competition from friends, that there is a higher opportunity with a lower cost and a minimal amount of investment to be able to find out that kind of information. Because it doesn't cost that much to be able to try, to be able to say, okay, I want to use, let's say that context optional. Context Media is it's a content targeting site. And so make sure that you have a really nice campaign and target it specifically to what it is you're looking for in the websites that you want to be that you want to show up in, and see of the particular websites that are actually doing well, go after them, or to show that there's an opportunity within the four search engines. And just because Google is huge doesn't mean that it makes sense. What makes sense is that if you can spend a low CPC and get a high value click to get an inexpensive conversion rate. It's all about the research of finding out, going beyond just because everyone else is doing it, it doesn't mean that you should too.
So someone influential recently said to me that soon we'll be beyond search. And I'm not, you know, that can be interpreted lots of different ways. So without getting into the whole discussion, do you think there is a time somewhere in the near future where we will be beyond search?
There was a discussion a long time ago about that. What ad servers want is we want to be able to serve an ad specifically to somebody who really wants that. And it's kind of like when you go to Amazon and you type in a particular product and it shows you a list of products down at the bottom because they're targeted to what you're looking for. And what our hopes were, I mean, back in 2000, was the ability to serve something to somebody who really wanted that, not serve them something they don't want, because that's just wasting money, is to be able to say, for some reason, whether it's because it's profiling or that they're searching actively for keywords that are looking for a Livestrong T-shirt, that we serve them that or we serve them something that's related to it. But I think that we're still a long way from that. With rules and regulations, particularly in Europe, is going to – I think that that's a long ways away. But I think that search is still going to be around. But I think that with the ability of Google, who owns DoubleClick, who has Google Analytics, that you're really going to be able to start seeing ads that are so targeted that you can actually target to an IP address, that you know that somebody's going down the 405 in LA and they work in an office park, has seen a billboard saying Disney new lineup for the American teenager, and know that that person saw it and know what their demographics are, and then being able to target them for that. But I think
it's the secret life of the American teenager.
Yes,
thank you very much. Yes, because it's exactly what I would watch. No, for some reason I keep seeing those billboards myself, and so, you know, thank you, ABC Family, for making sure that I'm aware of what your programming schedule contains. So sort of, you know, along the lines of what we touched on. Whoa, what's that noise?
I think Peter Shankman is talking. He's got a really high voice in the background.
Yeah, not quite that high, but yeah.
No, not quite.
All right. Well, you know, I think that one of the things that, you know, we'd like to touch on the show is, you know, you've gotten through a ton of content, you know, in terms of the value prop of your business, what analytics really means, all of that really quickly. So take a moment to think and more thoughtfully, maybe slowly, talk us through the tools you like the best and why. That are start with free and then go to pay.
Okay. The first ones I would say is, like I was saying before, is start from the basics. Look at your website. What's working? Is it working? What's working for it? Where's your traffic coming from? Google has several tools that are really good for that. Google Webmaster Tools, their Java linked tools. Again, I'm pulling them off the top of my head, but on my website there's a link to it. It basically talks
about it. So driventide.com. You can either go there or up in the top right-hand corner there's blogs. So either one of those places will have information.
Right. And so what this does is basically is you want to make sure that your website's working well. So Google has a lot of really cool tools to be able to really help you not monetize your website, make sure that it works. Make sure that that there's no issues. Make sure that the loading's fine. But also to make sure that the search engines are properly scraping it the way that it should. And then the next step from that is being able to take a look at your Google Analytics tools, which are really inexpensive. And then you can link that together with some of your paid campaigns, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or from AdWords or whatever. For the other paid tools, I really like BuzzLogic, and I like ScoutLab.
Which some may know as Nielsen BuzzLogic.
Yeah, Nielsen BuzzLogic. Thank you. Because I think what's important is being able to say, people talk about, I've got a great website and I have traffic, but if you're paying for 60% of your traffic, you're paying too much. You need to have a website that draws people in, or content that draws people in, of at least 60% or more. And by being able to use a tool like a BuzzLogic, Nielsen BuzzLogic, or Scout Labs, is being able to find where conversations are and go after them and say, hey, if you're interested in this, check this out, and draw people in, and providing them with something that they don't already have, which is content. Another tool is, it's really expensive, but that it's a... Omniture and DoubleClick. There are simple ad-serving tools, but they also have their own analytic tools where you can link together APIs from the search engines to find out more about the information of people, who's coming to your site, who's looking at your ads. Allows you to do A-B testing and really kind of dive into what it is and isn't working with your website.
Mm-hmm.
Another really, really good one right now that I really like is Quantcast. Everyone should have Quantcast on their website. What this does is that this gives you the ability to really kind of create your own demographic of who's coming into your site, where, why, when. Google Analytics is good, but it doesn't give you like the vital information, that pre-click information, or who these people actually are. But with Quantcast, you can. So it gives you specific information, male, female, demographics, where they were before, what they do. I mean, it's a little behavioral, but it actually is more demographic. So you can actually go to your marketing department saying, hey, we're actually seeing this. So we should have our ads or have our content that's geared more towards women or geared more towards Hispanics or geared more towards the South or whatever, because it really – there's too many companies out there that make choices based on what they think they should be going after rather than what's actually finding their website.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing to me, is the amount of guesswork that still happens, even though it's pretty unnecessary.
Exactly. And I think that a lot of people are scared. That's why they hire agencies to do the work for them or hire somebody to monetize their traffic, because they don't know. But all it really takes is being able to just have Google Analytics on your website, have Quantcast there, borrow some guy's account for ComScore. ComScore is an amazing tool. It's really expensive. It's about $30,000 a year. But
if you're doing e-commerce, it's a must.
It's a must.
E-commerce.
Because what it can do is that you can create your own campaigns within Quantcast to see what's working. Here's my 25 keywords. Who's buying it? Where are they buying it? Where are they selling it? What's their click? What's their cost per click? And you're really able to show what your where your competitors are in your and where you are in the landscape. I'd say probably out of all the tools I have, that ComScore is probably the best. You could use Compete and a few of the other ones that are not so expensive. But I mean, if you're going to go for the big bang for your buck, is that you can get a couple of people together, a couple of companies together, and buy an account. But it does give you the opportunity to say, okay, what are your top 25 keywords? Because with those keywords, what happens is that you have to build your content around those keywords to increase your quality score to get more content, I mean to get more traffic, to build language within your blogs or to build custom landing page for your PPC content, because you already know that these are the keywords you need to be going after, not the ones you think you know. Because what it does is that it gives you the opportunity to be a smart but confident buyer of media.
Interesting. So are there any tools – sorry, trouble breathing for some reason. So are there – get too excited about this stuff. So like any tools that you hate that you just think people – you know, because there are a lot of trendy things out there, I'll say, that maybe people should or shouldn't spend their time using or on, you know, if they're spending time on a site trying to get the data that they want.
I think that, oh, wow, that's really hard. I have to be careful because I know a lot of people at a lot of different companies.
Say what you can.
I wouldn't say that there's any tools out there that I would hate. I think what I do dislike is the idea of a company buying a product and not knowing how to use it. If a company already has a problem with process and communication, there's no reason to buy Nielsen Net Ratings or to buy Ad Relevance. Because the thing is that that's just one more process in an already messed up system. I think what's important is being able to use tools to get exactly what it is you need and not keep getting more and more tools. A lot of companies are having that problem right now where it's really cheap to get ComScore or to get Quantcast or DoubleClick. And the thing is that what's important is being able to say, okay, does this have everything I want, and am I paying for more than I need? And that's what kind of the problem is that why have a ComScore account when you're not going to use it? Or why have DoubleClick tags on your website because you don't have any ads running and you're paying for it? It's being able to buy what it is you need and then being able to monetize that. And once you start getting to a particular area, you're able to start to the next step, to start monetizing as you start growing. I think that that's what I kind of dislike. I've seen too many issues in the past where that a company had a very expensive tool, and one particular tool was Omniture Offermatica, which is an A/B testing and website building tool, and it's $120,000 a year, something like that. It's a crazy amount of money, but they don't use it. And I think what's hard about that is that you buy a tool, you tell your people that they need to use it, but they don't, and it's kind of demoralizing. Instead, it's, okay, let's see what's working. What's scalable? What can we do that we can learn from this and decide whether it's the direction we need to go in or we need to go into a different direction? Because it's just too easy for CMOs and other companies to say, oh, well, why don't we get this tool because I got a free lunch and a handshake. It's more of, but do we need this and will this work with our bottom line?
Mm-hmm.
Because, so, I mean, I think we both agree with the idea that there's data doesn't lie. And so if the data comes in and you read it properly, we're going to make money. And honestly, I may be a bit of an eye candy, but I want to make money from this. And if my clients aren't making money, then I'm not making money. So you need to be able to focus in on what works, what you already have, to be able to take advantage of that instead of just keep spending more money down a pit that's already pretty deep.
Interesting. So have you been brought into an organization that's had this problem where they have zillions of tools and they're spending all this money on them and they don't need them, and you actually take up the conversation, or how does that process work for you? I mean, because there's always ego involved, you know, and there can
right.
be, and often there are friendships involved, like you alluded to before, even for yourself, right? So it can be a really touchy area about what you use or don't use, or, you know, one of my, pain points a lot of the time is Google Analytics isn't optimized, but the company that I'm working with or for believes that it is because a snake oil salesman came in and, in inverted commas, SEO optimized it. And, everyone thinks the work is done and everybody's happy as Larry, and they're using Google Analytics and their conversion metrics aren't working. They're just not set up correctly. So they need to have at least Google Analytics on their site. I think you'd agree. But, you know, one of the issues is, you know, either whether a tool needs to be refined to be used properly, or there are tools that a company isn't using, and you can see that there's a lot of savings involved, especially with the amounts of money you've been talking about. How does that conversation unfold from your relationship with clients?
Well, I mean, there's usually two issues. One, that there's a problem with the website and they're buying tools to try to fix it. Or two, that they have tools and they're legacy tools and they're just lying around. And I think that if tools are there, you can't really tell a tool provider to, we're not going to use you, we're not going to pay you anymore, because you're under contract. But what you can do is being able to say, hey, we're not using Google Analytics properly, or we're not using Omniture properly, or we're not using ComScore properly. Guess what? Call them up. Say, hey, we're not using your tool enough, and if we don't start using this, we're going to have to cancel your contract next year. You know what I would like? I would like you to throw me in for having one of your sales engineers to come in and show us how to use this better. Can you do an audit for us? Is this actually working? Because it's in their best interest to make sure that you're using the tool and using it properly. A lot of people get scared because either it's a small company or it's a large company, but they don't know is that, like, oh, when I was working at eStorm International in San Francisco, is that they're a boutique ad agency with some serious clients. But the thing was is that they didn't have account contact at Google and Yahoo and at ComScore, and that's all it takes is calling them up, the salesperson, and saying, hey, we're not using this properly, or I don't think this is being optimized well enough. Can you have one of your people take a look at it and then come back to us? You have that opportunity. You're paying for it. Might as well get the best bang for your buck and have them come in, have them take you to lunch, have a little seminar, lesson and learn, and be able to kind of maximize that opportunity. And if you don't get that, then they're probably not the best bet for you anyway. But instead of just telling your employees or trying to force yourself to do it by your boss telling you to, is to say, hey, we don't really know this that well, and the person that was trained, it doesn't work here anymore. Can we have the sales engineer from ComScore come over and show us what we can do? And then ask them, hey, what are the most important reports that most of our competitors are using? How are we comparing with our competitors? They're not going to show you exactly what the data is, whether it's in Google or Yahoo or ComScore or DoubleClick, but they'll show you basic overall information. You'd be really surprised what kind of data they can share with you that normal companies would pay tens of thousands of dollars for that they'll give you willingly.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the greatest tips, especially for newbies coming up the ladder, is almost every single company, you hear a new technology, write it in your notebook. You know, search in Google or wherever, they're going to fix the word if it's not spelled correctly anyway. Request a demo, or there's a demo probably link there. Go look at the demo. I mean, it is just kind of maddening in some ways. People say, oh, what's that about? Or, you know, it's like, hello, if you really want to be successful, you need to go out there and figure out how things work at the most basic level and figure out if it's something that you need to look at making a further investment in. And I mean, in terms of time, resources, or anything else.
Well, there's a thing that I think that if you put it on your website, it'll be so valuable to so many of your listeners, is that in Google, they have an education area that basically starts from what is search and goes all the way into multi-channel analytics, Google Analytics, PPC advertising, and it's a little movie and it's a list that most people use to become Google certified. And it just goes through, and it's keyword based. So you can say, oh, what's Google, what's analytics, or what is multivariate testing, or what's A/B testing, and it will have a little video on each one of those. And it provides a great resource by being able to, in many ways, it's not knowing how to use it, it's knowing what the verbiage is. So when somebody's talking about it, you actually know how to input that information into your actual business instead of the other way around.
So folks listening can figure out where to find it. Where do you find that?
If you go to Google Advertising, down at the bottom, and then you go into, I think it's PPC. I'll send you the link after this, but I just turned off my laptop. We'll add it to my website
so that people can take a look at it, because there are a lot of videos in the analytics section, and it's sometimes hard to know where analytics ends and pay-per-click and some of the other ad pieces begins, right? Because of course Google sells AdWords, so it's in their interest in their free product Google Analytics to cross promote.
Right.
But
the other thing to think about is that a lot of, because people talk about display advertising banners and rich media and mobile and PPC and social media, they use the basic strategy of ad placement, impressions, clicks, click-through rates, cost per conversion, and conversion. So they use a lot of the same verbiage. So, I mean, they're just different. They're taking different paths, but they're looking for the same destination. They're being measured the same way, which is why multi-channel analytics and analytics works, is because even though they're going different directions, they're still going to the same destination, and that's how you're able to interlink them. So, I mean, just because you're in search or in display, you still have that basic understanding of what this actually is when you start seeing a lot of the same information and the same measurements for TV to newspaper to search to mobile media.
Mm-hmm. So we only have a few more minutes, and I'm just curious what you would consider your biggest surprise, something that you actually did not predict correctly, or that was just something that you hadn't considered, whether it's from setting up the business or maybe new approaches that the folks that you have on your team have brought to bear.
I would probably say something that's overall is I'm really surprised it's taking so long for mobile to really take off, mobile advertising. I'm walking around here at South by Southwest, and everyone is using Foursquare, which came out last year. And it's really interesting that people are actually using this data, I mean, using these tools in a way that I never thought they would. But I'm a little surprised that mobile advertising hasn't taken off the way that it has in Europe, where you have conversion rates that are somewhere around 2%, where here they're at about 0.05%, which is around what a banner ad is. But for me, so that's a global thing, but for me is that I'm still surprised on how serious websites are being built, and they're being built incorrectly. And you build a website that's incorrect, and you don't set up the structure, the account correctly, everything is in Flash. There's so many little issues that you can have when building a website that affects everything. It affects your message, affects your ranking, your quality score, paid search costs and everything. They don't interlink their analytics to event tracking, so you can't track how many signups you have for newsletters as opposed to conversions. We weren't really going to go into that direction. We were mostly going to go into paid advertising, social media, and multi-channel analytics, but now we're starting to get into really going back to basics, to SEO, because we just assumed most everyone, I mean, it's 2010, so this stuff should have been hammered down, written in stone, and tattooed to someone's tushy, that these are the things that must be done when you have a website, but it's just not.
These are the things when you have an app or what you do in mobile that just don't exist. But unfortunately, we are out of time, Jai. We could talk forever. And we'll have to have you back on. You can tell us how your company is doing, and when you have some more case studies especially, we'd love to hear those, even if they have to be vague in name. we trust you. So thanks for being a friend of the program, and have fun at the rest of South by Southwest.
Yeah, and if anyone has any questions for me or wants to learn a little bit more about something else or whatever, we just like being very helpful.
Yes, and all of your information, and please do make sure to send me the link to the video that you referenced. We will make sure everybody can get a hold of that at jenniferlindsay.com, which is pretty much linked everywhere through the program.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
All right. Take care, Jai.
Okay, bye-bye.
That was Jai Decker, the co-founder and CEO of Driven Tide. Fantastic new company that's really, I think, got its head on straight about how you can help your business by using what's called multi-channel analytics. Hopefully we didn't get too geeky for you in this session. We thank you so much for tuning into the program. We'd love it if you'd friend us or add us to your favorites here on Blog Talk Radio. And if you're listening on iTunes, please rate us. If you're someplace else, please provide feedback. You can always send questions in via my Twitter stream at Jennifer Ed, JennifererED, or on my Facebook page. Our guest next week, 1 week from today at noon, is writer and comedian Nick Douglas. So hope to have you on the air for or to join us next week when he's on the air with us, and wishing you a wonderful weekend.